This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
People very upset with you, Rick. Twitter very unhappy that you trashed Tom Hanks.
Yeah, well, there's no win.
I mean, he's as close to American royalty as we have.
I understand that. Someone was going to be upset. What are you going to tell you? I feel how I feel. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah,
unfortunately, this heart didn't want Tom Hanks today.
I can't believe you.
Wow.
It could be recency bias. I watched him Leonardo DiCaprio last night. Maybe it's his proclivity to have his own island with a bunch of models that swayed me. I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it.
I mean, Tom Hanks was Saving Private Ryan.
I understand that. He's a great actor. I love Tom Hanks. That's why he's in that category.
You just
trashed
him.
That's why he's in that category. I put him to the side. I didn't put him in the trash. I put him to the side for a second.
The game is trash.
I know the game is trash, but there could be some ulterior motives to have, you know, a relationship with Leo.
Do you want him to chop me up and feed me to the poor? Is that what you guys want?
Is that what you want? It's not what you want.
No, it's not your finest moment, though. I am a little disappointed. All right. Adam Gase just addressed the media. And he discussed the relationship with Jamal Adams. What do you think, before we even play it, what do you think he's going to say about the relationship currently with one Jamal Adams?
Mutual respect. They have mutual respect for each other.
Chris, what would you say?
They're in a good place.
They are not in a good place. They are in a wonderful place. Here is the Jets head coach.
My relationship with Jamal has been good since the time that I've gotten here. And, you know, we've had a lot of discussions throughout the season trying to figure out ways to win. And to me, we've always got along well. And there's been a lot of dialogue between us, especially about, you know, on and off the field type topics.
So making it sound like this is a good relationship when clearly it's not.
Well, I mean, you had a report out there by Bleacher Report. I think it came out 2 days ago, and it said that the bad relationship between Adam Gase and Jamal Adams is a part of the motivation of Jamal wanting to be traded away from the organization. So, I mean, at some point, I guess you have to acknowledge there's something going on there. And based on what we're hearing from Adam Gase, he's not aware of it, which is a problem. Either he doesn't want to hear it, which is bad, or he just is under the impression that he thought that he had a good relationship with Jamal. I mean, either way, Jamal doesn't do these things that he's doing now publicly if he has respect and admiration for Adam Gase. And I think it's clear that he doesn't have either one of those for his head coach, which is a problem.
Yeah, we had a pretty good idea how Jamal felt about Todd Bowles. The same can't be said about Adam Gase. What were you going to expect? I mean, what did you expect Adam Gase to say?
You're right, but I don't know. It feels so disingenuous to just say, you know, we have a great relationship.
Exactly.
No, I don't disagree with you, but that's what he was going to say when he was asked the question. He's not going to be honest about it. It was coach speak.
Well, here's the thing. I don't even know that he had to actually address the question. All he had to do was say, you know, this is a tough situation right now, and there are things that I don't want to talk about publicly. We need to try to handle things behind closed doors and find a resolution that's beneficial for both parties. What's wrong with coming out and saying that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got – I mean, he's not – the best for the media in the first place.
I guess my point is just don't lie to us, because you're saying that the relationship is in a good place where clearly it's not.
Right.
If the player is behaving this way, then how can you think that the relationship that he has with the head coach is a good one? If you have a good relationship with your head coach, you don't do this. You don't demand a trade. You don't say that, you know, you want out and you're not coming back. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but that's what they do, man. They lie. I mean, Joe Douglas said he wants Jamal to be a Jet for life. If that was the case, get the deal done. I mean, Jamal's not a Jet for life yet. Might not even be a Jet.
Yeah, somebody's not telling the truth in this whole situation, right?
Because
if Adam Gase is saying that he's got a good relationship with Jamal, and Joe Douglas is saying he wants Jamal to be a Jet for life, somebody's not telling the truth here. Because Jamal wants a contract extension. The Jets are the only ones that are in position to be able to do that as of right now. He's still on their team, so they can make the decision to do that. If that's what the player wants, and if the relationship is as good as they all claim it is, then what's the holdup? What's the problem?
Oh, come on. Clearly, the relationship is not good.
No, I don't think it has been good.
Right. but telling us that this is great, we're in a great place, and you know what? He says, I want him on the team. I believe that to be true. But to sit here and tell us that the relationship is great right now, is just, I mean, how is anyone supposed to believe that?
I don't think anyone does believe it. I mean, I sure don't. I don't believe it. I don't think you believe it. And I know Chris doesn't believe it. So, I mean, what? I don't know what you expected him to say.
I don't know. I guess I just expected that Adam Gase would have a little more transparency about, you know, the situation in terms of how difficult it is. Acknowledge that the player is frustrated, and we would like to try to work together in order to, you know, make sure that both parties are happy moving forward. I think that that's something that's reasonable to say, because I just, the position that the Jets have taken behind the scenes with addressing Jamal's contract, it seems like it's very adversarial. And I just think that they've got to try to work toward being able to mend fences and come together. Even if it means that the Jets are inevitably going to move on from Jamal, you still got to be able to try to come together so you can try to figure out the best way to go about doing that. Because the Jets aren't going to trade Jamal unless they're going to get a haul in return. And
right.
Jamal doing what he's doing right now is not exactly helping the situation. Yeah, we've seen some guys that have made noise in the last couple of years get traded out. You saw it with AB in Pittsburgh. You saw it with Steph Diggs in Minnesota. You saw it with Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville. But it makes it harder to do that. It adds an extra degree of difficulty on top of it when you have the player being as vocal as he is. And right now, they got to try to get Jamal to try to walk some of this stuff back in terms of making all of this noise, because, you know, that's
he's not going to stop, Chris. It's not going to stop.
But that's my thing, Dave. The Jets didn't have to let it get to this point. But right now, if you're here, it felt like it would have been a lot smarter for Adam Gase to acknowledge the reasons why Jamal is frustrated. He's a great player. He's the best safety in football. We recognize that. We want to try to take care of our guys. That should be the message that you're trying to send, not only to Jamal, but the rest of your team. Because Jamal is the best player at his position. You want to reward guys like that, especially homegrown guys like that. So to me, if Adam Gase gets in front of the podium, acknowledges why Jamal is frustrated, say we're trying to work together to find a solution, to me that would have been the best way to come out and put a positive face on that. And that's a way that the organization can extend an olive branch. Because even with Greg Williams saying that he wants to support Jamal and that he's got his back, what Greg Williams says really doesn't matter. What the head coach says, what the general manager says, and what the owner says matters the most.
Yeah, but the players that you just mentioned, I know it's, I mean, it doesn't feel like it's making it any easier on the Jets, but the players that you just mentioned, I mean, when you look at the deals that those teams got for those players, I mean, not bad. They're good deals.
They're great deals.
I mean, as big of a pain in the butt as they were, they still got, I mean, the teams that traded them still got a lot in return for those players. I mean, unless you're Bill O'Brien, who's not known for making great
exactly.
deals, period.
Yeah, that was subpar. But Jalen Ramsey was a big deal.
But in general, and here's the other thing to take into account, though. I mean, Jamal really doesn't have much leverage now outside of being a distraction. Think of how much more leverage he has if he gets traded for a contract extension. How much leverage did Laremy Tunsil have?
Well, now you have all of it. Because if they're going to give you give up a 1 and a 3 for you,
multiple
they're
high
darn
picks,
well going to
yeah.
sign you.
Yeah, I think with Laremy Tunsil, it was 2 ones, right?
Right.
That was a part of that deal, yeah. So, I mean, if you get a team to trade that for you, you know you can hold them over a barrel.
And look at the deal he got.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jamal has already come out and said, I don't necessarily have to get a new contract if I sign to play for a team. Because, like, Jalen Ramsey didn't get a new contract once they executed that trade. Laremy Tunsil didn't get a new contract when they executed that trade. So it's not like it would have to be an imminent payday for Jamal if a team were going to pony up and make the move. My only thing is this. I guess when I look at the Jets situation and worrying about setting a precedent, that's the part of it that you can get really concerned about, because if you get a guy to make noise and that's all he's got to do in order to find his way out of the team, is that necessarily the message you want to send?
It's not great.
Probably not. But probably not. But sometimes you're forced into a situation that he's going to be, I mean, that your locker room can't handle that kind of distraction.
I agree with that, which is why I think they need to go ahead and pay him. But that's just me.
Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing? Hope all your family and loved ones is doing well, man, you know?
Well, we appreciate it, Buddha. What's on your mind today, bud?
All right, listen, with this Jamal Adams, like, I sincerely get annoyed when I hear these fans calling and you know, trying to get on this kid for wanting to get out of here. You guys, you know, two of you guys, Rick and Chris, y'all are professional athletes. Maybe you might want to tell the fans what it's like to play for a team that's like the Jets are, man.
I don't think you Chris know. Can tell you.
I haven't played for a team exactly. like the Jets, and there's a reason why I decided I would never play for a team like the Jets.
I mean, come on, man. You know, like, let's be honest. You took away a little bit of my thunder with the McCarthy thing. You know, there was no reason not to hire him, but then you explained the reason. Chris Johnson wanted to have somebody he could have impact in. Let me enlighten the fans on our record since Chris Johnson has taken over. It's 16-32. You know, this guy is a little bit more than a pain in the backside. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing. Woody Johnson was no.
You make it sound like Woody Johnson was some sensational odor prior to Chris.
No, he wasn't. No, I'm saying he was no Papa Bear Hylas, but his brother is worse than him. And listening to Jamal, you know, Jamal is emotional, as you guys said. But let's be honest. In 2 years, if you're Sam Darnold and you go another year, because we know this year he has no weapons, we go another year to give you nobody to play with, new coach all over again. Just because he's not talking, you don't think that he's looking at the situation like, yeah, I might want to get out of here too? Come on.
It's not, listen, it's not, I mean, we can go back and forth. It's not an ideal situation.
No.
It's a bad situation.
Jets have put themselves in a bad situation.
But the thing that's so frustrating to me is it feels like they've done this to themselves.
They have, Dave. Is there any other way to look at it? You knew at some point Jamal Adams was going to knock on your general manager's door. The kid was an all-pro safety, best player at his position after his third year.
And you know he's not the kind of a player or teammate that's going to just be quiet when there's something that he's not pleased with. You know that about him.
Dave, he has no problem telling you what's on his mind. I mean, we all remember when he came in the studio with us after his first year and the conversation that we had. Like, I mean, the kid, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and if there's something that he doesn't like, he's going to let it be known. That's in part why, you know, his teammates love him so much, because not only does the guy produce, but the guy is transparent. You know who he is. Like, you don't have to guess about where you stand with Jamal Adams. And the problem I have with the Jets is that they're making him guess about where he stands with the organization and whether or not he's going to be a part of their long-term future. To me, that's the part that's unfair. When the player gets his agent to try to start negotiations on a contract extension and your GM just does not want to hear it, the organization is unwilling to listen, I get why it would become as ugly as it has with a player like Jamal.
I think the reality is that a player with that kind of personality, and Chris, you play with guys like this, it takes work from the coaching staff. It takes work from the head coach to create a relationship, a good working relationship with that player. And I don't think Adam Gase has the time for that.
You know what, Rick? And you're right. It does take more work, but he actually makes it less work when it comes to the X's and O's in trying to develop your game plan.
Listen, I don't disagree. I mean, what he does between the white lines, he is a player that you should be willing to, as a head coach, to put the work in with.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I was trying to get
to. I agree 100%. But yeah, that's not what Adam Gase wants to do. He wants guys.
But doesn't your head coach, doesn't every head coach in the NFL have to do that with certain guys on his roster? Doesn't every head coach have to deal with that?
Yeah, but I think it's why you see coaches that are really good in college struggle in the NFL. Because in college, you can get away with that. In the NFL, you can't.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, level to level. I mean, it changes level to level. I mean,
in college, the stars are the coaches. In the NFL, the stars are the players.
Yeah, but you can't just tell guys in the NFL, the National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, what to do. You have to tell them why they're doing it.
And you have to baby them sometimes.
You got to massage egos. That's part of it.
I think the overall attitude has to be different, right? Dave, I mean, Rick talked about, you know, making sure that your coach has awareness, has emotional intelligence so that he can manage the player. I think a lot of coaches look at it as control. And with a player like Jamal and with players in the NFL as a whole, it's not about trying to control the players. It's about trying to work with the players in order to have a winning program. And I just feel like with Adam Gase and his tenure with the Miami Dolphins and with his tenure with the New York Jets, it's all about being him being able to put his foot down and control the players, and it just does not work at this level. That doesn't work. That mentality, that attitude doesn't work. What Bill Belichick does in New England, there's nobody else around the National Football League that's capable of doing that. It just feels like Adam Gase is trying to continue with that old school approach, and it just doesn't work with today's athlete. It doesn't.
And he also has nothing standing behind him to make you think that he's going to be successful either.
Well, that's the other thing. He doesn't have the proven track record.
Right. But, I mean, like Belichick, you know that eventually odds are it's going to lead to greatness for you.
Yeah, but the same thing can be said as to why, you know, Bill Belichick's coaching tree is a crapshoot. It's because, you know, these coaches that come from Bill Belichick's system, I mean, it's ingrained in their DNA is this is how you need to coach. Like, they become a lot like Bill Belichick, and they don't have the success to back it up. That's why you know, Matt Patricia's on the hot seat. He's struggling. I mean, there are some good ones, but for the most part, you know, guys coming out of that tree have struggled.
Most of them have.
They want to do it like Bill, and Bill is Bill.
What do they say, one of one, Rick?
he's one of one. I mean, you could take pieces of what he does, but you can't act. I mean, you can't. It's probably why the coaches that come off of Andy Reid's tree are so successful nowadays. You see Andy Reid's personality with his players.
Yeah, they love him.
They love him. That's kind of where you need to get to now with coaching.
So let me ask you guys this question as it pertains to Jamal Adams. What's the most likely outcome of this situation?
Boy, it's a great question.
Are they going to get a deal? I'm just going to give you the three possibilities.
Cuddle, marry, trash?
I guess it would be a cuddle, marry, trash, but I mean, yeah, exactly.
Trade, extend.
Extension, is he going to be traded or play this year under the current deal?
I would trash extension. I don't think they're going to extend him. Not now. You're talking about before the season, right?
Yes.
No, I don't. I find it very hard to believe they're going to extend him before the season.
Okay. So which one are you marrying? Which one are you cuddling?
I'm going to marry that he plays begrudgingly for the Jets this year.
Okay.
And then I'll cuddle a trade.
All right. Okay.
Rick?
I would marry trade. I think I would marry trade at this
You'd
point.
You'd marry trade, huh?
Yeah.
You'd cuddle begrudgingly play for the Jets this year?
Yeah, and then I would. I think he's all set. If you'd ask me that question and say that if Chris Johnson were to fire Adam Gase tomorrow, I would probably lean more towards extension. Yeah, people can choose to believe what they want. I'm telling he does. There is a real problem between those two.
I believe that, Rick. I believe you 100%. When you say that, I believe you. I guess I look at it as what I would do in that situation. And to me, if the organization were saying, okay, we're going to pay you this amount of money and guarantee this amount on the contract, would I be willing to go back to work? Yeah, but I can't do that because I'm not in Jamal's shoes. I haven't been in there day to day. I don't know what the interactions are like between him and the head coach and him and the general manager. But from what it sounds like, I think we're at a point now where the damage is already done. The relationship is irreparable. So at this point, as an organization, you might be forced to move on from one of the two, whether it's Adam Gase or Jamal Adams.
I think today's player realizes how short their careers are, and they're not willing to just sit back and let someone they don't trust dictate the kind of success that they want to have. And can you blame them?
No, I can't blame them.
They've won 16 games. He's won 16 games in 3 years here.
And there's 16. No way you can move on from Adam Gase now.
No, you can't.
No, you're not moving on from Adam Gase. No, you're not.
So it's either you pay him or you deal him. Here's a question for you, Chris. Would you take, if you feel he's worth X, would you take X minus 20% right now?
I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
If you feel he's worth a one in a three, are you willing to take less just to unload him and move on right now?
No, because he needs this season. He needs to play this season. He can posture all he wants. He needs to play. And when he's between the white lines, he's still the best safety in the league.
Yeah, and plus with this new CBA, it'd be hard to hold out. Not impossible, but awfully hard, because you're talking about $50,000 per day, and you don't get the accredited season. So if you don't show up to training camp on time, you missed this part, you missed that season, your contract tolls another year. So
he needs the season.
He's got to, he's like, I just don't see him holding out. But here's the thing, though. If he doesn't hold out and he,
if he doesn't
come
hold in,
to work.
If he doesn't hold in, then yeah, that's a real problem.
Well, then
yeah,
you're
but
big
then the
trouble.
Other part about it, the other part about it is this too, Rick, and we're sitting here talking about the holdout. We do have a pandemic situation going on. Can you fault him if he says he doesn't want to come to work because he's uncomfortable, quote unquote, the situation? You can't fine him for that.
And then do you get your year of service or no?
No, you wouldn't.
All right. So
but
get your year
but
of
if you're Jamal Adams, do you even care? Because your goal is to try to get a long-term extension. And
right.
If you don't play, your head coach might not even be
here. I will
here
tell you what, this is not the last time we're going to have this conversation on this show or on these airwaves. And now Sunday night, 9 o'clock ESPN TV, it's Backstory with Don Van Natta Jr. As we approach the 10-year anniversary of LeBron James's The Decision, Don gives you a behind-the-scenes look at the developments that led to the decision, the far-reaching consequences of the telecast, and its legacy for a new era of player empowerment. We bring him in now, Don Van Natta Jr. Thanks for a couple minutes this afternoon, Don.
My pleasure. How you guys doing?
We're pretty good. So I remember this like it was yesterday. And for those that don't, just kind of refresh the memory. LeBron got really beaten up over this decision 10 years ago, didn't he?
He really did. He was vilified across the country for sitting down with Jim Gray at the Boys and Girls Club in Greenwich, Connecticut, live on ESPN. It was a one-hour broadcast. I think it was the way he did it. The way it was executed, as much as the fact that he turned his back on his hometown of Cleveland, he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, a very inelegant way to say it, of course. But it was also the fact there was 23 questions asked by Jim Gray before he asked, what's your decision? Are you a nail biter? Where's the powder? All these inane, silly questions. And just LeBron looked so uncomfortable. It was so awkward. So it was an awkward kind of not great night of television. And then, of course, the way LeBron did it is what we all remember. But what we go into in this episode on Sunday night, guys, is the legacy of it. Looking back 10 years, so much more was going on. It was really a revolutionary moment for player empowerment, for athletes telling their own stories, and also for LeBron finding his voice. Even though he didn't have it that night, he certainly has found it since.
Yeah, Don, in doing the story, was there anything, that came to light that you didn't even realize when you dove into this, maybe the origin of the decision and where this whole idea came from?
Yeah, that was a big part of a big goal of the show, was to figure out whose idea was this. You guys may remember Jim Gray, the veteran broadcaster, said it was his idea just a month before that. Gray said he had pitched it to Maverick Carter, LeBron's business partner, and Ari Emanuel, the super agent in Hollywood during the NBA Finals in L.A. Actually, we figured out that the idea came from one of the most unlikely sources many months earlier. In November of 2009, a guy named Drew, don't know Drew's last name, just know his name is Drew, from Columbus, Ohio, wrote a letter to Bill Simmons, an email in Bill Simmons's mailbag column on ESPN.com saying LeBron should do a one-hour announcement show live on ABC this summer. And Simmons replied, hey, that's a great idea. Maybe LeBron should put it on pay-per-view. Simmons then took that idea and pitched it to LeBron's inner circle in February in Dallas at the NBA All-Star Weekend. Simmons also pitched it to ESPN executives. And then for months, Simmons behind the scenes was trying to get this show off the ground. It didn't get anywhere, even though Simmons worked at ESPN at the time. And then it took Ari Emanuel to pitch it to John Skipper, who was an executive. And Simmons was sort of cut out of the process. And it was Maverick Carter, Jim Gray, and Ari Emanuel that were the sort of founding fathers of that 1 hour of television. So it's very interesting how it all went down.
Don, you talked about the decision being the beginning or marking the beginning of the player empowerment era, yet we saw LeBron in the summer of 2014 had a distinctly different approach in his return to Cleveland. I guess my question to you is, are players still sensitive in the way that they're going to send the message that they are leaving the teams that they're currently with for another team?
Oh, absolutely. No, and that's a great question. LeBron learned a lot of lessons that night, and certainly one of them is you don't turn your back on your hometown team, the place where you were born, in such a big way with 10 million people watching. And certainly you have to be scripted. He wasn't scripted that night. He kind of winged it. And 4 years later, as you point out, when he left Miami and returned home, it was an as-told-to story, an essay in Sports Illustrated with the writer Lee Jenkins. And then 4 years after that, when LeBron left Cleveland for L.A., it was a one-page statement from Clutch Sports, from Rich Paul's agency out there, announcing LeBron was signing with the Lakers. So each move he made got smaller, and we saw it with Tom Brady when he went to the Bucks. Players, big, particularly star players, when they leave one team for another, are very careful in how they do it. It's carefully stage managed, and I believe it's all because of the way LeBron handled the decision.
9 o'clock, Sunday night, ESPN with Don Van Natta Jr. Backstory, the decision of LeBron James, 10-year anniversary of that. Does he admit to regret? Does he look back and say, maybe it wasn't something I should have gone and done, or is that not something that's gone through his mind?
Oh, yeah, no, he regretted it that night, I think. I mean, I actually believe as he sat in the chair and Jim Gray was asking all these inane questions of him, LeBron was regretting doing it. I mean, you could see it on his face. He was so uncomfortable. But on the plane ride down after that show from Greenwich to Miami, LeBron and his inner circle, there were tears on the plane. They were, you know, they were seeing images of LeBron's jersey being burned in Cleveland. And Maverick Carter, LeBron's childhood friend and business partner, felt that this show actually had trashed his best friend's image. And that whole first year in Miami, if you guys remember, LeBron was a villain and booed in every NBA arena. It wasn't just the decision. It was the next night, that rally in Miami with D. Wade and Chris Bosh, when LeBron said, we're not going to win not one championship, not two, not three, not four, kept ticking all that off. So that was sort of the bookend to the night before. And he definitely regrets it. He has said he regrets it. But now, looking back 10 years, LeBron and Maverick Carter see it as a sort of rite of passage for these media and production companies that they've started. LeBron is an executive producer of More Than an Athlete, The Shop, Uninterrupted, Shut Up and Dribble, all these shows. And just this week, it was announced another $100 million has been raised for LeBron and Maverick Carter to green light storytelling by black storytellers. And so it was really a moment of empowerment for LeBron now in the way they see it, but they certainly didn't know that then. They just knew this is something they wanted to try out, and it just didn't go very well. And they certainly have learned from their mistakes since.
Don, now, I don't know if you can answer this question or not, but with how poorly the decision went, do you think that it was always in LeBron's mind that he would go back to Cleveland, or because the decision went so poorly, he felt like he owed it to Cleveland to go back and win them a championship?
Well, I had reporting for this episode that told me that even the day after the decision, when LeBron's in Miami preparing for that rally, his inner circle were telling people, you know, people don't understand in Cleveland, they're so upset with us, LeBron may go back. They were thinking about it that early. Now, whether or not that was being expressed because they were so hurt by the reaction, that unfortunately I don't know. But certainly it was something that was being told to reporters just a day or two after LeBron did the decision show. And then, you know, obviously when he returned 4 years later, I mean, everybody loves a sort of redemption story. And then to win the championship in Cleveland and end that half a century drought, I mean, it's like all was forgiven in Cleveland, even to the point when LeBron finally left to go to L.A., people were like, okay. I mean, Dave Chappelle has a very funny riff about this in the most recent stand-up that came out, that 8:46 comment where he said, "Where like people basically in Cleveland were like, okay, we get it. You know, you want us to championship, you want to go to L.A., we understand." It's very funny. You know, all was forgiven, I believe, by a lot of Cleveland fans because he came back and won them a title.
Don, you talked about the outrage that Cavs fans had when LeBron left the first time with the decision, but it wasn't just Cavs fans. You actually had the owner, Dan Gilbert, you know, expressing how frustrated he was with the way that LeBron did it and claiming that he was going to win a title before LeBron did. How did Dan Gilbert and the Cavs organization mend fences with LeBron in order to facilitate him coming back in 2014?
That's a really good question. You know, unfortunately, I didn't speak to Gilbert for this episode, and I wish I could have asked him that question if he agreed to talk to me. But we have Bomani Jones, the ESPN commentator. I asked him that question, and, you know, he said, like, personally, he wouldn't have gone back to work for Dan Gilbert, but LeBron and his inner circle looked at Dan Gilbert as if Dan Gilbert was working for LeBron. And as you remember, that Comic Sans letter was so over the top that Gilbert put out. And, you know, we have folks, including Mike Wilbon, that said, we deal with the race question and how white America saw the decision versus black America. And we go into that in the episode on Sunday night. And Wilbon said it all just came down to control, the way people, through the prism of what they looked at this for. And Keith Klinkscales, a former ESPN executive who I interviewed on camera, he was at ESPN and was working with the LeBron camp on that decision show. Said that, black America saw it as a moment of freedom, a moment of empowerment. And that is not how Dan Gilbert obviously saw it in that moment.
All right. Well, Don, listen, we really appreciate a couple minutes. We're all going to certainly watch the episode Sunday night, 9 o'clock ESPN TV, the decision from LeBron James, the 10-year anniversary. Good stuff. And next time you have one of these big events, we'll certainly talk to you again.
Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate the time today. And stay safe.
All right, same to you as well. And he does such a good job, and these are so well done. So that'll be really, really good. Sunday night, 9 o'clock, backstory with Don Van Natta Jr. All right, we go from that, Santi, to this. At any point, we go from that to this.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any...
It was going so well.
Go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's knob observation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
I mean, would you at least let me hang up on the guy?
Yeah, I'll take the blame for that. But I know that we don't have a ton of time, and I wanted to move quickly along. But I'll own that one. That's on me. I apologize, Raymond.
Yeah, you hold that L. Poor Ray by himself.
Yeah, but he didn't even accept my apology.
It's because he's disgusted by you.
Oh, come on.
Is what every right to be.
We move on. We're in observations. Please go, Rick.
All right, here we go.
He's done. He's checked out now.
But, Santi, I completely agree. I mean, the reason why he wanted to get this, we all know it, because he's now involved in the segment. So we're going to do what we like to do to start.
No, forget it. I don't want to do the weather. Forget it. It's nice out. It's sunny. Move on.
The weather outside is weather.
No, I'm done.
I want it. Give
you
it to me.
I don't care for my weather.
I want it. I want to know if I'm going to the pool or not today.
Going to the pool, baby.
Give it to me,
79
baby.
Right now, going up to a balmy 83. A little bit of cloud cover this afternoon. By 6 o'clock, though, it's going to be nice and sunny. It's a beautiful day. 8:30 sunset, chance of rain. Very slim 10%. Humidity at 43. A little windy today. West-northwest is where it's hailing from, 10 miles an hour. Feels like right at 80. Precipitation up to this point, 0, pressure 29.95, visibility 10 miles. UV index is 8, which means what, Rick? What does the 8 on the UV scale mean?
Gonna need some sunscreen today.
Sunblock, please. Air quality index 45. I don't know what that means, in fact, but it is 45, and the air quality is good.
Well done, Dave. Well worked.
But for next week, I'm gonna look into what the air quality index actually means.
Yeah, do some homework. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going.
Some homework. All right. Hey, this is a big one.
Tomorrow. Go ahead.
I mean, this is a big one. I'm not going to try to oversell. This is huge. I mean, we're talking about all of a sudden, taking this game that's sweeping the nation and tying it up at one week to 1 week. Dave Rothenberg with a huge Thursday win, controls the board.
Tremendous.
All tied up at 2, headed into this Friday. Dave, what would you like to do?
Oh, Christopher, the floor is yours.
I'm going to go with 7:46 p.m.
Oh, 7:46 p.m. Oh, Dave Rothenberg, it's on you, my friend, for all the marbles to take.
Can I ask a question before I give my answer?
No, you cannot.
Why?
What's the question?
I just want to know what time did you go to bed Thursday night, Wednesday night?
I don't remember what time I went to bed Wednesday
night. What did we say? It was very early, right? Was it 7:13, something like that?
Yeah, Wednesday was
7:13.
Yeah, Milo tucked me in on Wednesday.
Did he go to bed at such a childish hour 2 nights in a row?
That's bad when your 5-year-old tucks you in. Yeah, Dad, you need to shut it down.
7:46. 7:46, Chris. Where'd you go?
Yes, 7:46.
Such a great guess. Over. I'm gonna say 7:47.
Dave Rothenberg wins the week.
Yes.
I tried to give you the hint. You guys weren't paying attention. Yeah. Told you that I not only watched one movie, but I got stuck watching parts of another movie, which led to, and I had the touch-and-go situation with the tummy. Late last night was not a good night. Yeah, last night was not a good night.
Do you see what just happened? I mean, this was LeBron-esque what we've done here this week.
That was a comeback. That was LeBron 2015-2016.
down 2-1 on the road, win game four, win game five, up 2-0. Oh, that was terrific.
Yep. I mean, that's monumental. I mean, you got to mark this week down.
This is a big week for me.
That was a huge week.
Yeah.
Humongous week. Well done, my friend. Well done, both of you. Well done, because that's what the people want. They want a game five. That's what everyone wants.
Yeah.
You don't want this thing wrapped up midweek.
2-0.
Want this to go right down to game five.
All right,
here's an interesting. Did this happen in Florida? We don't have much time, so let's get through this one. This is unfortunate. This may make you a little bit queasy, but this is reality. This is a story. I'm not making it up. This was an elderly man decided that he wanted to take a swim. When he was through with the swim, everything seemed fine until he experienced severe pain while trying to use the bathroom. Wound up at the hospital where a tiny camera inserted into his junk revealed a humongous leech.
Oh.
That not only went up there but also sucked a pint of the victim's blood and injured parts of the man's organs with its teeth. Did that happen?
Oh, my God. All right, first of all, this is obvious to me, Canty. There's no way this is Florida. I don't even know if they have leeches in Florida. Do they? Of course they do. I don't think so. Not the way that I expect. This has to be an Asian story.
God, could you imagine that? I mean, it just got worse.
No, I hate this. It's up there.
No, by the way, I can't imagine. It's even bigger.
You don't feel it going in, though?
Blood. Apparently not when you're swimming. I don't know. I mean, I can't say. I never had it happen.
Oh, God. Well, hopefully you never do.
No, hopefully now. I'm going to have to sell some kind of protection when you go swimming.
You wear a swim condom.
Yeah, what are these? Imagine Cassie finds those in my drawer. What are these? They're just for swimming. Don't worry about swim condoms.
I swear to God, Cass. My swim condoms. Oh boy.
Oh, is that Florida?
Not Florida.
Canty says not Florida. Dave says not Florida. Santiago.
Yeah, put me in for not Florida.
Not Florida. You guys are correct. That's not even this country. That is in Cambodia.
See?
That is Cambodia. There are leeches in Florida, though. That's brutal. I couldn't even imagine that. It makes me want to swim.
Ever.
I'd be afraid to go in the pool today. Going to have to go on Amazon and get some swim condoms.
Swim condoms.
This is unfortunate. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this story. Guy buys a brand new Lamborghini. 20 minutes later, totaled.
Oh, God.
Drives it off the lot, onto the highway. Car malfunctions, smashed. It was a $265,000 Lamborghini.
Totaled.
Okay, and last one for today on this beautiful, apparently, Friday.
Beautiful.
I don't know how to feel about this. I guess I do. I want to get your opinion. Did you see what Chris Godwin said about giving the number 12 to Tom Brady?
Mm-mm.
He said, I've been wearing 12 since high school, and it means a lot to me. At first, it bothered me a little bit. It was kind of getting at me because it was part of my identity. But when the GOAT comes calling, you kind of concede to him. Brady's got to take care of him, doesn't he?
I would think so.
Yeah, Brady's got to do something for him, yeah.
I mean, it's Tom Brady, for God's sakes.
Nah, he's Tom Brady. I mean, winning
the
Super Bowl is
great. What's the appropriate gift?
You got to buy him something, I would imagine.
Like a car?
Or cash.
Watch.
Cash is never bad. Cash, watch. Yeah.
Brady's got some sick endorsements. How much do you think the number's worth?
What do you, like,
20,
like,
30 grand.
Yeah? Yeah. I mean, you're Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I think it's higher. I think it's got to be higher than that.
You think it's higher than that? You think it's 50?
I think it's got to be. Yeah,
50,
I would start at 50.
$50,000 cash?
Yeah, I mean, like a $50,000 watch. Something like that.
Okay.
Plus, he's got sick endorsements, too, doesn't he? Doesn't he do Aston Martin stuff?
Yeah, but it can't be a watch from an endorsement company. I need Tom Brady to come out of his pockets for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I need. If I'm giving you my number, something that I have a deep personal attachment with, I need you to part ways with something that's meaningful. And I know 50 grand ain't nothing to Tom Brady, but still, it's 50 grand.
That's money, though. That's money.
It's money. Yeah,
yeah, that's nice money.
Yeah.
Before we go, too, just so you guys, because it's something to keep an eye on, keep your attention. I know, Dave, you don't love golf, but maybe this will spark your interest. Back and forth right now going on between Nick Faldo and Brooks Koepka. It's getting feisty.
Now, Nick Faldo, how old is he?
He's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
But he does the commentating. And then Brooks Koepka said that, you know, why they're talking about players being mic'd up. And he's like, if the commentators just shut their mouths, you could hear us. The boom mics are that close.
Ooh.
And Faldo obviously took some offense to that. And then Faldo decided to throw the old, I know he's watching at home, guys, because he loves listening to we analysts and our scintillating insights. He's probably poolside in his thong, you know, enjoying himself. That's what Faldo said.
That's funny.
Wow.
I like
it's getting heated.
Yeah, nice. Like it's the Trevor Bauer, Curt Schilling battle that's going on Twitter as well.
Oh, and by the way, Chris, just so you can, I know we're running late, but you mentioned that Allen was a knob. Can you please explain to everybody? They want to know.
Yes. So the local meet had a caller, Anthony, who is a driver, Bear Burger Delivery, and he tells the story about delivering some food to Jamal Adams, and he wanted Jamal's autograph, and Jamal said he would agree to sign an autograph if the delivery guy paid for his food.
Ugh.
Jamal signed the autograph. Delivery guy paid for his food. Jamal didn't tip. And so Jamal got called out by Barton Allen saying that he's a cheapskate. And then Barton Hahn's show Twitter account put out the audio on the call. And then they tagged Jamal Adams with Allen saying, don't worry, Prez, we picked up the tab.
Ooh. Oh,
shots fired.
Yes. Isn't Allen a Jets fan?
I think both are knobs at this point, though. Jamal's got to be a knob, too, in this situation.
But I'm just saying, though, why would you snitch on the delivery guy, though? That's all I'm saying, I guess.
That's a good point. That's
you tag the delivery guy with the show
Twitter
account.
You put the delivery guy in a tough spot. Yep, bad move.
Exactly.
Now, do you guys going to get fired? Bart, I believe, picked up the tab and tipped the guy as well.
Yeah, but now the guy's going to get fired from Bear Burger because he's putting his, you know, Jamal on blast on the radio.
Well, not a good
if you own Bear Burger, you wouldn't want your...
It's not a good look for anybody.
Your delivery men talking about who they're delivering to, would you?
Yeah. No, not good. Chris, you remember the bulk of the show today? I'd say that Rick was very pessimistic about Adam Gase. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Let's reflect back to May 7th, what he said about the Jets head coach.
I'm done as far as you know being negative about Adam Gase. I'm done with it.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Well, I have to be. It's not my best interest.
Uh-huh.
Is it negative, or is it just being a realist?
No. That you've been negative all show long about it.
Oh, because it led to this. I mean, now all of a sudden there's the potential that you're going to lose your best defensive player, probably your best player, because he has no respect for the head coach. What am I supposed to do, just pretend it didn't happen?
Well, you made a vow that you would be optimistic, no more negativity, and it lasted like 6 weeks.
That's a long time. Under these circumstances?
Yes. Without a snap of football being played, the fact that you could last 6 weeks, congratulations to you.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.